London on the 10th of May. This is Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, and a few weeks ago I had the great good fortune to meet up with one of country music's true legends. Emmylou Harris came into Broadcasting House to play in solo glory, talking very frankly about a whole host of subjects, from current songwriting inspiration right back to the short but intense and formative time with Gram Parsons. Here she starts out with Home Sweet Home.
I live out here in the wind and the pouring rain, somewhere between 14th Avenue and Main. In the summer heat, the winter's freezing snow, you see I've got nowhere else to go. Got no home, sweet home, into this world some are bound to roam, and it's a long, hard road we know on the way to home, sweet home. People pass by, they don't see me here, and if they do, they wish I would disappear. I guess they know, way down deep in their bones, it could be them out there looking for a home. For a home, sweet, into this world some are bound to roam, and it's a long, hard road we know on the way to home, sweet home. Oh, to have a place to lay my head, a crumb or two for my daily bread. Perhaps someday a kind soul will come along, help me to find my way back where I belong. Back to a home, sweet home, into this world some are bound.
We're so delighted to have Emmylou Harris playing for us live on World on 3. Emmylou, that's not a picture that we're used to hearing painted of the capital of country music.
Well, you know, every city, at least in my country, in America, every city has a homeless population. And I was fortunate enough a few years ago to get to know a man named Charles Strobel. He had been a Catholic priest, and, well, he was a Catholic priest when a lot of homeless people started showing up in his parking lot, and he would make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for them. And then a light went on, and he realized that that was his true congregation. So 25 years ago, he started a place called the Campus for Human Development and the Room at the End, where he started working with the homeless, giving them a sanctuary and an opportunity to get out of homelessness with their own resolve, but with the help of people who were supportive of them. So I got to know Charles because he wanted to start a animal rescue that would have people who were coming out of homelessness work with homeless animals. So that's how my involvement came, because I've been working with homeless animals for a while.
There are homeless people here in the UK, of mm-hmm. course, but it seems a very different, almost frightening situation when you encounter it in the United States. When I go over, I see people who would be cared for by the state, whether mentally or medically, that there is some means of looking after a certain element of that population. It's quite a scary experience to see people that you think should be cared for and aren't, or choose not to be in some cases.
Well, some people, you know, are beyond help, I suppose. But this idea, I've run across it in politicians. I was actually at a community meeting where somebody actually, in answer to something about the homeless, which was not coming from our organization, said, well, as we all know, people are homeless by choice, which is such an extraordinary lie, you know. And a lot of us, not myself, I've been lucky in my life, but there are a lot of people who are one paycheck away from homelessness. And it is just something that we need to deal with the economy in such a bad shape. The first people who are going to probably be cut loose. But as long as there are people like Charles Strobel, who is truly one of the most amazing people, who really walks the walk and talks the talk of someone who is supposed to be a man of God, or just a person who cares about other people. Hopefully there are more and more people like him out there who will open their doors and their hearts and their lives to helping the plight of people who really just need a leg up. They need a little help to keep them from the abyss so they can work their way back up to some sense of dignity, of work, of being a part of a community.
In your own mm-hmm. songwriting, because you are a performer who seems equally at home, whether interpreting somebody else's songs or singing your own, it seems as though your writing has to come out of some sore place in the story or the person or the situation that you encounter. Do you need to have that to start?
Well, I have to have an idea. And usually the ideas do seem to be talking about maybe the darker side, whether it's a failed love affair or whether it's just about the fact that we are aware of our own mortality, or a lot of the universal themes that we deal with. Ironically, I get a great joy out of singing sad songs. So that's how I guess I deal with both sides of the coin.
You'd make a great Scot.
Thank you. Well, actually, Harris, I think that I definitely have some Scots blood in there.
This next song that you're going to sing, I Am Emmett Till, that is a truly scary story.
Yes, well, of course, it's a part of our American history, a very terrible, tragic part of our history, which is, you know, the prejudice and segregation, the racial inequality, especially rampant in the South, where I come from, a neighboring state of Alabama. This happened in Mississippi in 1955. And there was a young boy, his name was Emmett Lewis Till, and he was 14 years old. He made the mistake of speaking, or there are different stories that he wolf whistled. The point is the fact that he showed any kind of familiarity to a white woman was basically a death sentence.
What drives you in 2010, 2011 to write about an awful thing that happened in 1955?
I just heard a news story about Emmett Till, you know, obviously not current history, but they were talking on the radio about the story of Emmett Till, which I was very much aware of. And once again, one wonders where you get the inspiration, but I just got the line in my head, I was born a black boy. My name is Emmett Till. And from there, once you get an idea, it usually becomes very insistent that you think, I know there's something I have to write. But I wanted to write not just about the terrible events that happened, because there have been songs and certainly documentaries, and everything has chronicled the story of Emmett Till. He will always be a footnote in the history of the civil rights movement, because I think it was something that tilted the scales. There was such an outrage because his body was so mutilated, and his mother kept the casket open, which is also in the song. And I think it galvanized the black community, but I think it horrified a lot of the white community, too. So the thing that moved me is that he was a young boy who had his whole life ahead of him. And at the age of 14, we're not very smart, none of us. And he paid a terrible price for making a mistake in almost like etiquette.
I was born a black boy, my name is Emmett Till. I walked this earth for 14 years, one night I was killed. We're speaking to a woman whose skin was white as dawn. That's a sin in Mississippi, but how was I to know? Come down from Chicago to visit with my kin. Up there I was a cheeky kid, I guess I've always been. But the harm they put upon me was too hard for what I'd done. For I was just a black boy, I never heard no. Took me from my uncle's house, Mose Wright was his name. He'd later stand and without hesitation point the blame at the ones who beat and cut me and shot me with a gun and threw me in the river like I was trash when they were done. I was sent back to my mother, at least what was left of me. She kept my casket open for the whole wide world to see. The awful desecration and the evidence of hate. You could not recognize me, the mutilation. There came a cry for justice then to be finally fulfilled, all because of me, a black boy. My name is Emmett Till. Oh. Not miss all I left behind, all that might have come. The summer clouds above my head, the grass beneath my feet, the warmth of a good woman, her kisses soft and sweet. Perhaps to be a father with a black boy of my own, watch him grow into a kinder world than I had known, where no child would be murdered for the color of his skin, and love would be the only thing inside the hearts of men. They say the horror of that haunting heaven still, where I am one more black boy, my name is Emmett Till.
The story of Emmett Till, inspiration for Bob Dylan in times past and now for Emmylou Harris. And there's more from her a little later on as she sings more from her new album, Hard Bargain. You're listening to Mary Ann Kennedy and World on Three. And the African Soul Rebels Tour is just underway for 2011. A bit of a different format for this year's tour with a complete Afrobeat and personal window on the festival. Tonight's session comes from Emmylou Harris, who came into the studio a few weeks ago to record some songs from her brand new album, Hard Bargain. And she carried on the session here with The Road.
Okay.
I can still remember every song you played long ago when we were younger and we rocked the night away. How could I see a future then where you would not grow with such a fire in our belly, such a hunger in our soul? I guess I probably loved you when those words rolled off your tongue. It seemed that we were traveling under some old lucky sun. I know I couldn't save you, and no one was to blame. But the road we shared together once will never be the same. Hey, gone a byway, won't be coming round today. Hey, on the wings of a song I'll fly away. I wandered in the wilderness for a while. I was so lost. To everything there is a season, and every blessing has its cost. So I took what you left me and put it to some use, looking for an answer, three chords and the truth. I come down from the mountain, I come walking in your shoes. I was taken for a gambler when I had no more to lose. For you put me on that pathway, how could I refuse? And I have spent my whole life out here working on the. Hey, 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 hey. So I carried on. Can't be haunted by the past. People come and people go, and nothing ever lasts. But I still think about you, wonder where you are. Can you see me from some place up there among the stars? But down here under heaven, there never was a chart guide our way across this crooked highway of the heart. And if it's only all about the journey and the end, on that road I'm glad I came to know you, my old friend. Hey, on a flyaway, won't be coming round today. Hey, with a song I pray, and on the wings of a song I fly away. I'll fly.
The Road from Emmylou Harris, playing for us live in session here on World in Three with me, Marianne Kennedy. Emmylou, I thought I had the questions ready for this song, but in some ways I think the song has answered them, or hearing you singing them that way. Your partnership with Graham Parsons was obviously such a fundamental part of your musical life, what happened after. It was very brief. It was a lifetime ago, but you've explored it and spoken about it, played about it, sung about it for so many years, and this song appears on the new album. Is there an element of you feeling that there's some kind of onus on living the musical life that Graham might have done if he had lived?
I think definitely in the beginning, you know, I was so, it was such a brutal cutoff, you know, to be cut off from him with his untimely death. And I felt that we were on a journey together. And then all of a sudden I found myself by myself, but wanting so much, I suppose in a way, staying close to him by carrying on with the music and then loving the music, trying to find my own voice and my own place. I didn't feel that I really did have a choice but to go on. So in a way, it was a gift to me to have that road, so to speak, in front of me, even though it was now one that I was going to have to take without him. So early on, there was that sense of a mission for me. But, you know, time goes on and life happens, and certainly meeting him and that's what he gave me, that sort of gift of my own road, was so important to me for everything that happened afterwards. But there have been so many other things in my life. So while Graham has never diminished for me the importance, certainly I haven't lived every waking moment, you know, thinking about Graham and the journey he would have made and what would he have done and what would Graham do and how can she possibly go on without him. Well, we are resilient as people and we do move on. And so this song is really, once again, a thank you to him, a gratefulness to whatever forces brought us together and have resulted in the pretty extraordinary life that I've had from my viewpoint of the many blessings that I've had and the musical life that I've had, as well as all the other people that have come into it and been friends and people who've also been a part of this journey. But it's been a long time and a lot of life has happened, but it's good to recognize your blessings and how certain things, to acknowledge the beginning, which it very much was a beginning for me.
The beautiful thing about it was the voices working together, and of course he introduced you to wonderful influences like the Leuven Brothers and of course...
Right. Yeah, the country music I had kind of scorned, you know, as, you know, ooh, that music, it's, you know, what is that, hokey, corny music. Just in my ignorance, didn't realize what a treasure of soulfulness and beauty and poetry was there. But I was also, of course, I was very much entrenched in the folk music of Dylan and Joan Baez and all that wonderful tradition. But I feel like country music was the missing piece that made that magic door open.
What is it about country music that seems to hit home with people? Because it has, you spoke earlier of the universality of your songwriting, and that kind of applies to country music right across the very broad church that it is. You know, where I come from, the west coast of Scotland and out in the islands, country music is number one. Go to Ireland, country music is number one, you know, in different shapes and forms. But
it's interesting that it comes back home, because really, if you had to, I'm not a musicologist, but it seems to me that music in America started with people from Scotland and Ireland and England in that Celtic tradition, and those beautiful ballads and those gorgeous old melodies and the instruments, you know, the fiddle and the guitar and, you know, coming over and settling in a region of the United States and the Appalachians that were pretty much cut off. So they had to make their own music. But gradually, just by osmosis, of course, there were other influences that come in the banjo, I think, originally came from Africa. But all this beautiful melding together of different influences comes in. But you can certainly trace back, you know, mountain music, which evolved into bluegrass, which, and then there, of course, not a direct stream, but country music with the black blues. So many influences that come into it. But ultimately, it is about the grand themes of being alive. We are born, we live, we fall in love, we get our hearts broken, we have to work for a living, we get laid off. You know, life doesn't exactly turn out the way we want, but we are people that we have to dance and embrace joy, and we have to lose the people we love. You know, it's the grand themes written very simply and from the heart, with these lovely, beautiful, simple melodies that are accessible to everyone. We don't try to make them too difficult, because somebody like me that only knows three chords can have an entire career.
You talked there. I'm glad you said at first, you know, that when you were introduced to country music at first, yeah, you thought it was kind of hokey music. And yeah, there is a perception among some folk that it's kind of, it's for good old boys. It's redneck music.
There is definitely a hokey their side to it.
There would be people who would be country music fans who just wouldn't get Emmett Till, for instance.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I've enjoyed a fan base that kind of listens to lots of different kinds of music that aren't strictly. I mean, I definitely got some pure country music fans, and whether I converted them to the left field part of my music or not is still a mystery. But I'm hoping that I converted some people who like the left field stuff to the pure country stuff. And getting to know my audiences, I think that we have all broadened our listening base. But the thing about Emmett Till, oddly enough, is, you know, there's a very, very strong narrative side to country music, which probably comes from the Celtic
ballad
ballads.
Tradition. Yeah.
The ballad tradition. And you still, there's some still some songs, you know, very popular country songs that tell stories, like The Gambler, you know, the Kenny Rogers. Certainly, I wouldn't say that there are that many songs of horrific events that you would consider in the mantle of country music. Although, you know, Hank Williams, in his persona, is Luke the Drifter. Stories from Life's Other Side, you know. I mean, he was very much the storyteller of deep, dark things. And bluegrass, of course, you definitely have things like The Little Girl and the Dreadful Snake, and, you know, dealing with all kinds of morbid.
Yeah, so
Wreck
many
on
of
the Highway.
Songs would never make it onto
Wreck
film.
Wreck on the Highway by Roy Acuff. But Emmett Till might be pushing it a little bit. But to me, you know, a song is a song is a song.
You're going to finish your session for us with a song that I suppose it's a connection through a very special person that, like you, brought the worlds of folk and country together in many ways.
Well, the song is really a love letter to and a farewell letter to my dear friend Kate McGarrigal, who passed away a year ago, January, after a very valiant, fierce battle with cancer, which she ultimately lost. But the music of Kate and Anna McGarrigal, I mean, probably inspires me as much, if not more, than anybody else's music. The beauty of their voices together, their writing, astonishing work of material. And the fact that, you know, they brought all those folk instruments, but even more exotic, because they had the French influence as well as the Scottish influence. So you had the accordion, a lot of those instruments that came over, you know, the fiddle, the piano, the banjo. They were parlor instruments, but their music was very, very modern and yet universal and timeless. So we really lost an extraordinary musician and artist and songwriter in Kate. But this is mainly a lament that I lost her friendship.
So it's fine to come. You have left this world, but we'll miss our Kate, our darling. We held your hand, kissed your lovely brow, and bid farewell. You're sailing now, free. free from the pain. You laid that burden down, but your strong and giving heart will surely be your crown. As you slip the surly bonds of earth and sail away, perhaps we will meet again somehow someday. Until then, there's nothing we can do but wait to see once more our darling Kate. All those nights we sang, talked till the sun came, fed our souls, you filled our cup with your perfect words, and oh, that voice, we fell in love, we had no choice, and I can't say for sure where you have gone, but in that place, betting there's a better song. We've all known down here the taste of joy and strife. You were the sweetest note in the chord of life. Now you slipped the surly bonds of earth and sailed away. Perhaps we will meet again somehow someday. But if there was one name I could consecrate, it would be yours. It would be Kate.
Fond memories of a good friend. Thanks a million to Emmylou Harris for the session. And the new album is out this week, called Hard Bargain. This is Mary Ann Kennedy.